BBCLearningEnglish.com presents Talk About English, a series of radio features that support your English language studies.
Welcome to BBCLearningEnglish.com and another chance to hear Insight Plus, a series first broadcast in 2001 that looks at the language of issues you hear about in the news. The Earth is in danger, and some say the greatest threat is global warming. Today on Insight Plus, Lise Doucette looks at the language used to report on global warming.
Global warming is the steady increase in the Earth's temperature. More and more scientists believe this is what is causing chaotic weather around the world. The hurricanes, droughts, storms and high tides that are striking more and more countries. The Earth has never been hotter. Its average temperature is now the highest since scientists began measuring it 600 years ago. Since the middle of the 19th century, global temperatures have risen by 0.5 degrees Celsius. That may not sound like much, but the difference between our temperature and an ice age is only about 6 degrees. The Earth has seen major changes in climate before, but most scientists agree this period is different. Many believe the present changes are caused by our own activities, by the way we live. And if that doesn't change, many forms of life on our planet may not survive. In November 2000, delegates from more than 150 countries gathered in The Hague in the Netherlands to discuss how to combat global warming. There was great disagreement, mainly between the United States and other industrialized nations, about what could and should be done. But everyone agreed on the need for action, based on mounting scientific evidence that humans are to blame.
The evidence is stacking up, pointing towards mankind playing a very large part of that influence, and that's something we couldn't have said 3 or 5 years ago.
The calculations are certainly suggesting that global warming is more important than we thought.
We know the Earth is a hotter place, and it's caused by the build-up of greenhouse gases like carbon monoxide and methane. Like the glass on a greenhouse, these gases let in the sun's heat, but they stop it from getting out, so the surface of the Earth slowly becomes warmer. These gases have always existed naturally in the Earth's atmosphere, but now we're burning more and more fossil fuels. We're using more oil and coal and wood too as we cut down more trees.
We're now increasingly confident that a large part of the warming that we've seen over the past 50 years or so is down to human activity. It's burning of fossil fuels, increases of carbon dioxide and methane and so on. The evidence is stacking up, pointing towards mankind playing a very large part of that influence, and that's something we couldn't have said 3 or 5 years ago.
It's our cars, our workplaces, even our homes. Everything which uses energy releases or emits gases. So the greatest polluters are the most industrialized nations. The United States, for example, in the year 2000, was emitting nearly a quarter of the world's greenhouse gases, but it only has about 4% of the world's population. It's under growing pressure from the rest of the world to find ways to cut its emissions. And it's not just the United States. In 1997, in Kyoto, Japan, more than 100 countries signed a protocol or agreement to cut their greenhouse gas emissions. We'll hear more about this protocol from Corinne Podger of the BBC's Science Unit. Listen out for the word emissions in the phrase emission of gases. Which gases are being released?
The Kyoto Protocol emerged from the UN Conference on Climate Change held 3 years ago in Japan. Parties to the protocol agreed to reduce emissions of gases like carbon dioxide and methane, which are thought to contribute to global warming. Initially, industrialized countries were to aim for a reduction of 5% below 1990 levels, with further reductions to be agreed in 2012.
The Kyoto Protocol was an historic statement on the need for action. The most industrialized or developed countries like the United States, Europe and Japan were all parties to this protocol. They all agreed to take action. But developing nations also accepted they will have to play a role in the fight against global warming. In a moment we'll hear just how difficult it's been to implement this historic protocol. But it was a start, as this report from the BBC's Corinne Podger points out.
Initially, industrialized countries were to aim for a reduction of 5% below 1990 levels, with further reductions to be agreed in 2012. One of the key groups advising the UN on global warming is the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC. Its secretary, Narasimhan Sundararaman, says Kyoto marked a turning point in the political acceptance of global warming.
It's a very important psychological first step. And it also acknowledges the fact that perhaps human beings are beginning to interfere with the climate system, and that some action seems to be necessary. To have taken an action of this kind is very courageous, and to have legally binding commitments of the kind that were really arrived at in Kyoto, I think that's a milestone in environmental agreements.
Kyoto is described as a milestone or major turning point in the way many governments looked at the issue of global warming. Scientists have been expressing concern for many decades. Governments took longer to be convinced. And while they continue to debate the issue, global warming is causing more and more damage to our world. As the Earth gets warmer, all of the natural world is affected. Birds and animals are migrating northwards, and native plants seed and start to grow elsewhere. Mosquitoes, which carry the malaria virus, are living longer than expected. Mountain glaciers and ice caps at the North and South Poles are melting, threatening the lives of communities, marine life, and aquatic birds like the penguins. And as oceans warm, sea levels rise and threaten to flood some low-lying countries. Global warming endangers planet Earth as we know it, and more people are getting worried. The health of our world is the subject of today's Insight Plus from the BBC World Service. It's your guide to the language and background to the stories that stay in the news. We heard that the 1997 Kyoto Protocol was an international agreement to cut greenhouse gas emissions, but that agreement still has to be ratified or approved by member governments before it comes into effect. Our next extract looks at some of the problems it's facing.
After Kyoto, many governments refused to ratify the protocol, complaining that it wasn't clear how the rules on emission reductions would be implemented, nor how much the necessary changes to industry and agriculture would cost. Those details should be formalised at this year's conference in The Hague, and after that, environmental campaigners hope that individual governments will go ahead with ratification. But Friends of the Earth spokeswoman Rhoda Verheyen says the protocol as it stands won't be enough to keep the world's temperatures down.
Countries have to agree to much, much deeper cuts. Up to 80% of greenhouse gas emissions must be reduced. And we have to phase out fossil fuels to prevent dangerous climate change. And even if the scientists can't tell us now, this is exactly how much you have to reduce today, they can tell us that we are changing the climate, and they have done so repeatedly since 1996. So we have to stop doing that. Otherwise, we will see devastating effects all over the world.
Many scientists believe the reductions in the Kyoto Protocol are far too low to make a difference. And some countries are trying to find loopholes, ways of avoiding these cuts. The United States, for example, says it can create carbon sinks. In other words, it will plant more forests which absorb carbon dioxide. Dan Modell of the environmental group Future Forests explains how it works.
Carbon sinks is a term that's just recently cropped up, and the idea is that trees, forests as they grow, do something very positive, which they change carbon dioxide, greenhouse gas, into oxygen and wood. So by recreating forest cover, the idea is that you can soak up greenhouse gases.
Environmental campaigners believe cuts aren't enough. They're calling for drastic changes in our lifestyles, especially in the richer nations. This would include switching away from fossil fuels to sources of energy less harmful to the environment, like solar power or fuels made from plants known as biofuels. That's especially important in the industrialized nations, which are the biggest consumers of energy and therefore the biggest polluters. Let's listen to Dr. Rashmi Meyer. He's the director of the International Institute of a Sustainable Future in Bombay, India.
There's no doubt at all, because if you look at Europe and Japan, Australia, New Zealand and Canada, they are responsible for almost 50% of the problem, and the United States is responsible for about 23% of the problem of carbon released in the atmosphere. And there has been no relief at all since Kyoto Protocol in 1997. Situation is worsening. The changes are coming much faster than we expected.
Everyone has to play a part. Do so many people need to drive cars? Could we heat our homes more efficiently? And industries also need to be persuaded to try more efficient, less harmful sources of energy. The United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan is urging them to change.
You must give a convincing signal to the private sector that reducing greenhouse gas emissions will pay. Once businessmen and women are convinced of that, we can rely on them to come up with new eco-friendly technologies which will in turn generate jobs and other opportunities. Until now, corporations have profited by polluting the environment. In future, we must make sure they have an incentive to clean it up.
Our hotter world is a hot political topic, and that shouldn't be surprising when the future of planet Earth is now at stake. Today on Insight Plus, we've looked at the issue of global warming. It's clear the Earth's average temperature has never been hotter. And we've heard how more and more scientists believe the way we live, especially in richer nations, is to blame. Governments now recognize this. But there's still great disagreement about what can and should be done to reduce our emissions of greenhouse gases. The gases released by all the energy we use to drive our cars, to heat our homes, and to run our factories.
That was Talk About English from bbclearningenglish.com.